Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm Laura Dierda, an editor at Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled to welcome Dr. Stephen Klasko, president of Thomas Jefferson University and CEO of Jefferson Health in Philadelphia. Dr. Klasko is a transformative leader who has led his organization through tremendous growth over the past several years. Dr. Klasko, it's a pleasure to have you here, and we're really excited to do the podcast today.
Well, it's great to be talking to you again, and it's a really great time as things are starting to turn the corner, so I'm looking forward to discussing the future with you.
Fantastic. Well, before we begin, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself and the situation at Jefferson Health right now?
Sure. I'm actually a high-risk obstetrician, and I lead what is now a 14-hospital system called Jefferson Health, and I also am the president of a two-campus university, Thomas Jefferson University. I think the interesting thing about Jefferson University is that we are a 196-year-old academic medical center that merged with a fashion design architecture and built environment university. So the whole issue of the design of the human experience in healthcare. As it relates to COVID, we have had more COVID patients than anybody in our area, about number 25 in the country. Probably one of the things I'll be most proud of when I'm looking back on my career is that we've had among the lowest employee infectivity rates in the nation, literally at about a 1% rate. And that wasn't an accident. We just spared no expense in keeping employees safe. We were proactive before this pandemic in making sure that Jefferson had enough PPE if there ever was a pandemic. Or we have a very entrepreneurial academic model, so we partner with folks in Silicon Valley, whether it's in testing. We have a partnership with Aramark in creating a digital app for hotels and others to be safe. We, believe it or not, have gone through the same financial tsunami that every other large healthcare provider has gone through. We're a $5 billion entity, lost $200 and some million last year, but Moody's actually just upgraded our outlook to A2 stable based on our financial stewardship. So it's been a heck of a year, to say the least, in running a place with 32,000 employees and all those hospitals and all those students. But I'm proud of the team, and I'm hoping that we can maintain that resilience and adaptability that we've done throughout Jefferson.
Absolutely. And that definitely sounds like, despite some of the challenges with the pandemic, you've really been able to do an amazing job with the health system. Could you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what is really innovative about Jefferson Health and what you're really proud of about the health system in general?
I think our whole philosophy has been what we call healthcare at any address. That if you just think about healthcare, we've been predominantly a sick care system that's based at the hospital. So the way we've tried to look at things is that 98% of people in Philadelphia or in Chicago are people. They're not patients. And they wake up in the morning and say, I'm a person that wants to be able to thrive without health getting in the way. And I think traditionally, especially in academic medical centers, we thought of everybody as patients. So what we've been able to do in our healthcare at any address model is to literally partner to get people out of the hospital. And while that sounds a little weird because we've got 14 hospitals, that's where things are clearly going to go, right? So if you think about banking, we don't get up in the morning and say, I think I'm going to telebank. It's just the banking went from 90% in the bank to 90% at home. And we've tried to take that same model of how can we start with healthcare at home. What that's done, Laura, is while it's had some short-term consequences, because we still get paid based on getting people into the hospital, it's really given some real long-term stability to the organization, because some of the Silicon Valley and other entrepreneurial entities and startup companies have chosen Jefferson to co-invest there. So we live on a four-pillar model: academic and clinical, which is the old math, and innovation, strategic partnerships, and philanthropy, which is the new math. So to me, that's what's exciting. I think a lot of that same kind of excitement is happening in orthopedics and musculoskeletal diseases. We partner with the Rothman Institute, for example, and you know, so much of our care and their care has gone from the hospitals to single specialty orthopedic hospitals to now outpatient centers. Better care, better access, lower cost. And while that affects our traditional sources of revenue, in the long term, that's going to put us in really good stead as we look at other competitors.
That's fantastic to hear. Now, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the pandemic and COVID-19. What are you seeing right now, and how have your strategies evolved for mitigating it?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And I think that, Laura, we're right in the middle of our second surge. Today, we probably have 750 folks in our hospitals with COVID. I worry a lot about our frontline employees in that, you know, they had to go through the first surge. And I think one of the things for everybody to recognize, if you're not a frontline health worker listening to this podcast, is that, you know, these folks literally have to go to war every day and deal with the COVID pandemic and then go home to some of the same problems that we all have with children that aren't in school or aging parents. And it's continued for quite a while. So I think the thing about this second surge that's been really tough has been, we got through the first surge, we got down to a steady state, and now I think our folks have done incredibly heroic work, but it certainly gets tiring. We worry a lot about the long-term, you know, post-pandemic stress syndrome. And we also worry a lot about what at Jefferson we call the pan-didn't, of patients that didn't get their screening or didn't get their mammogram or didn't get their colonoscopies. And, you know, what we're really trying to do in the wake of even this surge is make sure that people are getting the health care that they need, because we're worried that in a year from now, we're going to see all these people that didn't get screening or didn't get taken care of. So to us, that's really what we're really concentrating on, is working on both curbing the surge, getting vaccines out, and making sure that the millions of patients that rely on Jefferson for care are still getting that care.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Klasko, for going through that with us. It's really helpful to know and understand what you're seeing and in where you're planning on heading with the health system this year. Before we wrap up our conversation, I wanted to end with three pieces of advice that you would give to emerging leaders. What would you really say to people who are looking to advance their careers in healthcare today?
So I would say a few things. First of all, learn from what other industries have done. To me, so much of this is think about what's going to be obvious 10 years from now and do it today. I had a chance to work with Apple when they were moving from a computer company to a digital lifestyle. And they talked about the old math and the new math. The old math was computers and operating systems. The new math was, in their mind, a digital lifestyle. Just like in healthcare, we have to recognize that what we've existed on in a place like Jefferson for literally 50, 60 years of in-person tuition and inpatient medicine is going to go away. And the only question is whether or not we can figure out a way to have a stable revenue model while we're getting this care out to where people are, again, what we call healthcare at any address. And then the second one, I would say, just from a personal level, is if there's anything that the pandemic has taught us, it's the number one goal of a leader in my mind in a crisis is to be able to communicate, and communicate in a way where folks look at it personally. So we have 30,000 employees, where I used to be a DJ. So I've made music sort of one of the ways that we communicate. And every Friday, I have a conversation with my employees around some of the things happening positively, some of the challenges, but also around some music that they can listen to on the weekend that hopefully will embolden them and also have some synergy with what we're doing at Jefferson. So communication could not be more important all the time as a leader, but it's especially important when you're going through a crisis. And then the last one would be, it was a lesson I got from my chair of leadership at Wharton that has really held me in good stead. And that is, if you're in a leadership position, try to always hire 5 people under you that think they can do a better job than you and 3 that are right. Don't be afraid of hiring really, really, really great people. Maybe they even want your job, but that's going to help you be stronger.
Well, fantastic. That sounds like, you know, great pieces of advice, whether it's looking to other industries for how they're solving problems, communication, especially. I love your thought about sharing music with your staff and your team, and then finally hiring smart people to do a great job and working with them to push you to be even greater as well. Thank you so much, Dr. Klasko, for your time today. This has been a really fascinating conversation, and I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Thanks, Beckers, for all that they've done during this pandemic.